And that really began a process for me that was sort of my rethinking of poverty and what that looks like. And then also my co-founder, he was noticing things, I was noticing things, and a lot of our conversation turned to Chattanooga and sort of what was happening here and the impact of the recession. And, you know, it was that you didn't hear as much about, but we had Volkswagen coming in, and we had a lot of things to be excited about as a city compared to other cities, you know, that were losing a lot of jobs. We were gaining jobs. But as I spent more time with friends in Alton Park and East Chattanooga and some of those places, the narrative sounds a lot different. You know, people aren't that excited. They're not getting hired. They're not getting the jobs. The unemployment rate, you know, Alton Park at that time was in the 30% range. And so, you know, it just, for me, I was very thankful to be able to be exposed to some things that helped me see things that I'd never seen before in our city, and things that I felt like needed to be addressed.
Hal Bowling is the executive director and one of the creators of Launch Chattanooga, an organization in our city that focuses on empowering underserved communities and individuals through entrepreneurship. Hal and his team are filling a gap in our economic ecosystem, connecting people to resources and networks they otherwise wouldn't have access to. In so doing, Launch Chattanooga is expanding the narrative of our city to include those who have been historically left out of the successful story of our Renaissance. This is the Camp House Podcast, and I am your host, Matt Busby. Well, Hal, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Matt. Good to be with you.
Yeah, so today we're going to be having a conversation about an organization here in Chattanooga called Launch. But, you know, before launching into that conversation, I'd like to hear from you, Hal, you know, a little bit about your background, your story. Kind of, who are you?
Okay. I grew up in Asheville, North Carolina, and came to Chattanooga in 83 to attend Covenant College, and so that's how I got here. And except for about 5 years when I was other places, I graduated from Covenant, met my wife there, and except for those few years when we were away, we've been here ever since. So we love Chattanooga, love this place, and love calling it home.
Yeah. So what's your background? You know, what did you graduate with? What did you go into after college?
I studied business and missions, and have done both, actually. So that's been a fun journey. My wife and I lived in Australia for 2 years as part of our time. And then I was also on staff of a church in Fort Lauderdale, South Florida area, and headed their missions area for them. So in addition to those things, started a business in the 90s and have done a number of things in business, both for healthcare companies and the companies that I've started.
So at what point, I'm just kind of interested, at what point did you transition maybe out of the, you know, the quote unquote ministry world more into like a business focus? And how did you view that transition? Because obviously I feel like there's a lot of similarities here because we are the Camp House is owned by a church. But yet we have a business that operates totally on its own when it comes to, you know, any kind of business perspective, P&Ls, that kind of thing. So, you know, was that a clean break for you, or was that kind of a transition over a period of time? Do you even see that as a difference at this point?
Well, at this point, no. I think they're both valuable things, and they're both important, and God cares about everything. And so, you know, that there shouldn't be that kind of distinction. But that's something I've always struggled with in my life. Most of the culture I grew up in and the church background that I have, it was still, you know, a kind of a hierarchy, I guess, of things that God cares about over here, church attendance, mission stuff, you know, serving people. And then there was another hierarchy of things that he didn't care so much about, like business and healthcare and restaurants and just everything else that kind of goes into that category. So yeah, it was always a struggle because I felt like, you know, if you're someone who really is passionate about God, then you're going to sort of gravitate to sort of a full-time ministry thing. And if you're not, then you sort of end up in some of these other categories. So it was always a struggle. But at some point, I really was interested in business and really felt like that God was leading me back into that. And I sort of had a point where I was like, you know, I'm not sure how I ended up here, but I had sort of defaulted into this full-time ministry arena. And so I was really glad to be back in business and really have enjoyed the process since then, and really do see it as part of the whole, part of what it is that He's called me to do and us to do, I think, and the areas that the church really should be involved in.
Yeah. So at what point did you and your wife move back to Chattanooga, and why'd you move back? You know, did you start a business here in Chattanooga at that time, or, you know, what brought you back to the city?
We moved back in 1994, and I was involved in a ministry at that time then as well, but it wasn't too long after that that I really felt like that business was the new direction. And so at that point, I had several partners, but basically we started a business, and I was the main partner that was leading that business. It was a mall advertising company. Two of the partners had experience in it in other countries, and so we created that, and that was a lot of fun building that company. And so that was good, and that probably lasted 5 years before I was, you know, leaving that, and at that point entering into some other business ventures, healthcare, and I was traveling a lot at that point, and my kids were growing up and getting older. I felt like I was on the road all the time and just didn't want to do that. So I started I had really enjoyed time that I spent with business owners, small business owners, helping them think about their companies and about growth strategies and that kind of thing. So I started a company basically to work with small and medium-sized business owners. It was a business coaching business, and it did pretty well. I mean, we grew and I had, you know, quite a few clients that I worked with, and so it was during all that time that the recession hit and happened. So my business, you know, even though it did well, had also a roller coaster, a lot of ups and downs with people's businesses doing well and some not doing so well and that kind of thing. But at the same time, I'd gotten fairly involved with the CoLab and the startup community here and was facilitating classes for them. And we had a student from Ethiopia that lived with us for a year, my family did. And that really began a process for me that was sort of my rethinking of poverty and what that looks like. And then also my co-founder of Launch, and he was a client of mine, Scott Salto, and we were talking about his business quite a bit, but he was noticing things, I was noticing things, and a lot of our conversation turned to Chattanooga and sort of what was happening here and the impact of the recession. And, you know, it was that you didn't hear as much about, but we had Volkswagen coming in, and we had a lot of things to be excited about as a city compared to other cities, you know, that were losing a lot of jobs. We were gaining jobs. But as I spent more time with friends in Alton Park and East Chattanooga and some of those places, the narrative sounds a lot different. You know, people aren't that excited. They're not getting hired. They're not getting the jobs. The unemployment rate, you know, Alton Park at that time was in the 30% range. And so, you know, it just, for me, I was very thankful to be able to be exposed to some things that helped me see things that I'd never seen before. Yeah. In our city, and things that I felt like needed to be addressed.
Yeah. So go ahead and since we're getting off on this topic, you know, tell us what Launch is, and then just a real brief definition, because I think we're going to go through the rest of this podcast talking about the programming, and then I want to come back to this history a little bit and hear you talk more about the history of starting this organization. So really quickly, what is Launch?
Sure. Yeah. Launch is an organization. We're set up as a nonprofit organization. We're a startup, sort of. We started 5 years ago, and we're still growing. But essentially, we're an organization that provides startup training and business support to entrepreneurs in our city. And our focus is really on individuals that wouldn't necessarily find their way to other support resources here in the city. So we're looking for anybody who either wouldn't find their way, wouldn't know about other resources, and those kind of non-traditional entrepreneurs. We work a lot with minorities, women, teens. These are categories of people in a way that you know, traditionally have not started as many businesses and haven't gotten maybe as much attention as a company that was a high growth company or a technology oriented company or something like that.
Yeah. So Launch is this organization that focuses, is really an incubator for a lot of different businesses, but has a specific focus on populations who haven't had access to opportunity necessarily. So, you know, I think it's fair to say that a criticism of our city is that while, yes, everything is happening is really great and it's good, that doesn't extend to everybody.
Yes, absolutely. We have a kind of a split city, you know, the one side of the city and another side of the city, and we're not unique in that. I mean, most cities that I'm, you know, learning have that, and
yeah,
but Chattanooga is no exception to that. So yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so you've already started to describe this history. I'm very interested, you know, going back to 2007, 2008, 2009, as you began to realize this and kind of like the covers were pulled back and you started to see, yeah, there's a lot of great things happening, but I'm running into more and more people who haven't experienced those opportunities or actually stuck. How can I help those people? So, you know, kind of talk through that, how your eyes began to be, you know, open to that reality and then the founding of Launch.
Yeah, well, it was a progressive thing. It didn't happen overnight, but more and more, the more I learned, the more I saw that there was another reality in other parts of the city. And there definitely was, along racial and economic lines, a point at which people felt like they had access or had resources or had networks. And then, you know, plenty of folks that didn't have that. So we essentially, where this started was offering a class, training, you know, for entrepreneurs, for people with a business idea in Alton Park. And so
you started specifically in that neighborhood.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
And so we were recruiting folks from the area, from the neighborhood residents that live there. And so the first class, we had 12 people or so that came from the neighborhood. I led that class and had a great time just getting to know folks, seeing business ideas that were alive and well, people who were thinking about things that, you know, were really good ideas, really good thoughts, really good, you know, in terms of the direction that they wanted to head. But also seeing that their knowledge, especially, you know, there was a study done that says it's pretty intuitive, but it said, you know, people are more likely to start businesses if they know people who have started businesses.
Yep.
If in their network of family and friends there are people who have started businesses, then I'm more likely to do that, which is true for me. My dad started a business and, you know, it's sort of in my blood. I sort of grew up with it. I'm comfortable with it. But there are a lot of people who don't have that at all in their experience. And so I think for those, you know, we saw a lot in that first group. I learned a lot that people just had not had it in their experience as much. And so it was scarier. It was, you know, they were taking bigger steps out there in their own minds, you know, what they were risking. The financial aspects, the family and friends network where most entrepreneurs get their initial funding wasn't there.
Yeah.
And the relationships they had, just their own personal networks, were not nearly as robust and strong maybe as they could be. So there were definitely some areas that felt like we could jump in and try to provide some support to help strengthen those areas. And that really is what we've set out to do and still do in 5 years later.
Yeah. What I love about that story, you know, is how you guys started is the level of intentionality that's behind it, right? It's not like you guys, you know, hey, let's start an organization that helps people who have ideas who may not necessarily have access to getting those ideas into practice, and let's go put out some flyers. We'll do it downtown, and we'll just put out a bunch of flyers, and if people see that, then they'll come, right? That's just not true. You know, I think a heavy criticism of people who don't necessarily have opportunity is that people will say, well, the opportunity is out there if they'll just go after it. Well, most people don't even like know where to look, A, and then B, that's a massive amount of risk to step out of what you know into something else. And I think people underplay that as well. But going to them just shows a level of intentionality that I really appreciate. And I think it's an important part of your guys' story and who you are here in Chattanooga.
Yeah, it is important. And I think that it really, to deal with historical issues of trust and to try to make sure that, you know, people can maybe, you know, transportation is an issue for a lot of people. Well, you know, if you can't get to a place, you can't have access to the resources. So having it in a neighborhood where it's close by, it's convenient, people are comfortable there. I mean, it's a great place to start. It really is. And then slowly but surely, what we want is for them to get more and more comfortable with the business community. Now, there's a culture in the business community that is there too. And so all of us have to learn about that culture and try to understand it and get more comfortable in it. And so a lot of the entrepreneurs that we support are in that journey. They're in that process. They started in their own neighborhood with a place that felt really comfortable to them, and now they're growing and getting more exposed to what's happening in the business community.
So as we're talking about this, as we're having this conversation, if you guys want to learn more about Launch while we're talking about this, you can go to launchchattanooga.org. Their website is launchchattanooga.org. And there's a really fascinating question. I actually don't think it's a question on the website. It's an image of an old poster from Launch that says, "What does an entrepreneur look like?" And
yeah.
I just find that question so fascinating. And I'd love for you to answer that question. What does an entrepreneur look like?
Yeah, that is a good question. And that was sort of the idea behind that piece. We toyed a lot. The piece actually is split diagonally. And on the one half, there are a lot of business leaders that you know.
Steve Jobs,
Bill Gates, you know, and a lot of others. But then there's also a group of faces that you wouldn't recognize, you wouldn't know, but those are actually local people. Those are local business owners that a lot of them are students in. So it was kind of a fun contrast, you know, between these people that maybe you don't know and you haven't heard of yet,
yeah.
But they're going places and they're doing things that are pretty cool. And so that was the idea. So I think an entrepreneur is, you know, by Webster, it's someone who's starting a business and someone who's stepping out and starting a, you know, venture. But I think there's a lot more to it these days. You know, another thing that I read recently, Harvard Business Review article that really talks about the value of entrepreneurship as a mindset and the value to employers. I mean, our entire workforce, the way companies run and operate is changing. And so you not only want entrepreneurs who start companies, you want entrepreneurs who want employees who understand what it means to be an entrepreneur and who at least can think that way and take those kind of risks and step out into that in a way that, you know, maybe a traditional employee wouldn't. So I think it really gets into a lot of other areas these days that it hadn't in the past. But I mean, it's someone who has an idea, who's willing to take risks. It's someone who's able to, you know, not just have a traditional 9-to-5 job with a paycheck, but who might be willing to risk that for freedom, you know, the flexibility that they have for greater upside. We have, you know, a lot of people that are maybe single parents and their schedules and a work schedule keeps them away from their children. And so, you know, particularly single moms, I mean, they really have faced some challenges that entrepreneurship addresses.
Yeah, and just the freedom to do something you're passionate about too, right?
Like, absolutely, yeah.
That's great. Well, yeah, since your foundation, you know, back in 2010, 2011, and that first class that you launched in Alton Park, kind of talk us through the evolution of Launch and where you guys have sort of come from up until now, you know, and now, you know, just to kind of lay the almost sort of framework of where they started to where they are now, you know, Launch really has a few different robust programs going on, you know, not only working with adults, but also with youth and even, you know, inspiring this sort of organization in other cities at this point. So kind of tell us, you know, from the foundations of that first class in Alton Park to how you got to now, walk us through that a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. So we, you know, that relationship with the Bethlehem Center was great. That was where offices were. We also began, there was an opportunity at Howard High School just, you know, within the next year after we started in 2011. And one of the teachers there really had a program that was had a leadership focus to it, and he really wanted entrepreneurship to be part of that. We talked about a partnership and us introducing entrepreneurship to the students at Howard in his program. And so we tried that, and it worked really well. It was a lot of fun. It was great working with the kids. They were different in that they didn't come in like the adult entrepreneurs did. They didn't necessarily come in with an idea because this was still kind of a class and a little bit theoretical. But when we talk about that Harvard Business Review article where students are getting exposed to entrepreneurship, we're sort of taking them through a simulated startup experience. They have to come up with an idea. They have to, you know, work in a team and work out the details. They have to develop a business plan, and then they have a pitch competition that they're part of at the end of the semester. So they do all that in a semester, and we work with them in the classroom. So that was one development that was kind of a big a big development, but one that's been a lot of fun. So now the two focuses we have in Chattanooga are one with adult entrepreneurs and the other with high school students. And so Alton Park, East Chattanooga, the Brainerd area, and Hill City are sort of the four areas that we've focused on in terms of where we're really marketing and trying to identify entrepreneurs, adult entrepreneurs, and then the high schools that we started in sort of correlate to those as well.
Yeah, you guys have recently launched, I think, a new kind of week-long festival of entrepreneurship for high school students called Launch Connect. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, that's a summer deal. Our program now with high school students runs almost year-round. So we're in the schools in the fall, in the classroom. We share a class with maybe like a personal finance class, where part of the week the students are doing those that subject, and then the other part of the week they're working on their own. And then the second semester, the spring semester, students can continue working on their ideas if they want to. Not all of them want to, but the ones that do. And we try to make a lot of connections and introductions to entrepreneurs in the business community. They get to meet a lot of folks. Their networks expand. It's a pretty fun time of growth. And then in the summer, we have a week-long camp, which is the one you mentioned, Launch Connect. And that one's probably the most intensive, just more, lots more exposure to business leaders, the community, and a lot more around entrepreneurship. And it's a lot of fun. I mean, they eat a lot of food, do some activities, bike around the city. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think that to me, that's one of the more exciting things about the Launch Connect event is the fact that you're exposing these students from Howard High School, Brainerd High School, Tyner, and
yep.
Where else?
Red Bank. And East Ridge this year.
Okay.
And then we also work with the STEM school. Some they're doing a great
yeah.
program, and we're involved in that with them as well.
But what that Connect week-long thing does is it really exposes them to the networks, the business networks within Chattanooga that actually give them access to people they wouldn't otherwise have access to. They wouldn't otherwise have access to those networks.
Yep.
And that's a huge part of any success story.
That's right. That's right. And you know, one of the first students that went through our program was Darrell Rochelle, and he just latched on to people like I've never seen before. I mean, he developed a network like most of us. I mean, he has the mayor in his speed dial, you know, Chief Fletcher. He literally has people that he knows and calls and so it's really fun to see that. And we've had a lot of conversation about saying, how could we get other students to do what he did? Because he did it so well and so naturally. And that's one of those things that's life-changing when you think about that. So, Matt, I was just going to mention that we have 134 businesses now that have started, about 250 people who have actually been through the training. We know there's value in the training, but only
Absolutely.
About half,
yeah.
a little over half of the folks that go through the training are actually starting businesses. And then we also have about 250 students now that have been through the training. And so we're learning a lot from that experience. We're learning a lot from the people as they go through, as they finish, about what they need, what they, you know, what more types of support that we could provide. But all our time now is spent really trying to support those businesses that have started and then trying to identify entrepreneurs that are interested in starting.
Yeah, and with something else I love about Launch, I think you guys fill a niche within the city in a really unique way, because whereas most incubators have some sort of focus, you know, whether that's technology or even, you know, breaking that field down, incubators have a type of focus. However, Launch keeps the broadest net possible. So there's a good portion of your businesses that are started through Launch that are actually, they're not scalable businesses, they're lifestyle businesses. And I feel like for most other incubators, and rightfully so, because they need to have their own focus, aren't necessarily as open to lifestyle businesses the way you guys are. So when you talk about 135 businesses have started through Launch, a good portion of those are people starting their own restaurants or catering businesses or photography businesses that are not going to be interesting to investors, but are certainly going to transform the lives of the people who are doing it.
That's right. Yeah. And that whole realm, micro business, I mean, that's five employees or less. Those, you know, 90 plus percent of the businesses in the U.S. are micro businesses, but they don't get very much airplay. They get, you know, mostly, you know, take a backstage to a technology oriented company or a high growth company. Everybody's looking for the next Google to come out of their city. And I understand that. That's great. But we've become real proponents for micro business. We really believe that it's important. It's sort of the lifeblood. I mean, if you walk around here and in any city, you know, you'll see that those micro businesses, those small businesses, are the ones that create the culture, the fabric of life for most people are those businesses. And so they deserve to be esteemed. And so we really are proponents of micro business, and most of the businesses that we've helped start are micro businesses. There's a study done recently that said basically that if only one in three of the micro businesses in the country added one more employee, we would have no unemployment. And so it's powerful because there are just so many, you know, there's so many of them. But that definitely is the focus for us.
Yeah, when you think about strong local economies, you know, most of those local economies are ones who find a balance between these, you know, giant scalable businesses and these micro businesses. Like, you cannot have a successful economy of one without the other.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. They do. Yeah, the culture we're trying to create here in Chattanooga, the one that I think that we city wants to see, is one that's diverse and one that is, you know, not just racially and economically diverse, but it's also one that has a diversity of business entities. We've got some large companies, but we've got some great medium-sized companies and small companies as well. And the SBA defines a small business as 500 employees or less. So we know that there's a real difference between a 500 employee company and a company that only has one employee or no employees. It's just the owner. Maybe that's the employee.
So other than maybe the big classes you do or the programs that you're running currently at these different high schools in Chattanooga, you know, what are some other things you guys do within the city? Maybe some of the events you do, any other programs that you want to talk about?
Well, everything that we do is done with the attempt of raising awareness about the business owners and what they're doing. They're the real heroes. They're the ones that are out there doing it. We're just trying to sort of get behind them and do anything we can to support the work that they're doing that's already really, really good. So we do some events like we just did at the Camp House, which was a lot of fun. And thank you, by the way, for having us again. It was really great.
We love hosting pitch competitions, so good. It's fun.
Well, that was a great one. You know, we had basically 10 of our folks who had already been through a process of the ones that wanted to pitch got culled down, and eventually we got the top 10, and they were able to pitch for you know, a cash prize. And so everybody's nervous about that. They're all... it's not natural or comfortable necessarily for anyone, but they did a great job and they got to communicate about their business. And so that worked out really well. Pat Rowe won that. Barbecue Rowe is his business, and he does a really great job with barbecue. He's doing, you know, really good work.
Does he have a brick and mortar store, or is it just catering?
Just catering now. I know that's something that he is interested in and considering.
Yeah, so Barbecue Row won the pitch night, but the People's Choice Award. So you know, you have a judge's winner, and then you have a People's Choice there that night was Tara Valland's business, Arrival Events.
Yes.
Yeah. So what do you know anything about that one?
Yeah. You know, she had this vision for. She'd had been through death in her family and experienced it personally, and just kind of realized that there was a whole kind of business scene around end of life for a lot of people that's really difficult. And so she has this idea to really make it festive occasions for people who are going through, you know, the death of a loved one, and how you kind of celebrate that and help them move along in their journey and everyone is part of their grieving process. So she kind of handles all the food, all the events, you know, takes care of a lot of that and does it in a very dignified way, in a way that doesn't cost an arm and a leg and doesn't, you know, rob you of the family of their time, but is really well done. So that was her vision.
So how, as people are listening to this and you know, talking about the businesses that have been launched through Launch Chattanooga, say that some people want to get involved as far as even just patronage. They want to patron some of these new businesses that have started. How can they find those? How can they patron these businesses that have been started through Launch?
Yeah, that's a great question, Matt. Thanks. The businesses, you know, I mean, every business needs sales. They need customers. And so people are a lot of times asking what they could do to help. And I think the primary thing that they could do is support some of the businesses, any of the businesses that that we're behind and that we're supporting. And so there's a good list of them on our website. And those are ones that we know are doing good work, and they're solid in terms of their ability to deliver and the product and service and that kind of thing. So if you're looking, you know, for anything, you know, whether it's to cater an event or something else, an insurance provider, maybe, or whatever it might be, we would love it if you'd check out our website at launchchattanooga.org and just see the business directory that's there and just scan it and see if there's anyone that you could do business with. That would really be a great help. We have other opportunities as well for people that are interested in being involved, if, you know, to actually find other ways that they could support maybe the entrepreneurs that we work with. We need folks that work with the students that we work with as well. So there are other opportunities to be involved with us.
Yeah, so if you actually go into launchchattanooga.org and you look at their business directory, I mean, you'll see this is an incredibly broad range of different businesses that have been started. So it's everything from, you know, catering companies, but also, like we were saying, arrival events, you know, even stuff like the Chattery has been started through Launch, which is a very unique business. You know, tell people a little bit about the Chattery.
Yeah, they actually do all kinds of training. They bring in an expert who can lead a workshop on a particular subject, like maybe calligraphy. And you go through this workshop, you pay $10 or $15 or whatever, and you actually learn how to do it. And so they do that week after week after week in all these different areas. It's pretty cool because there's a lot of different subject and topics that you can learn about.
Yeah, and there's everything on here from security companies to transportation businesses, graphic design, consultancy agencies. So there's a really broad range on their website. If you want to check that out, that's launchchattanooga.org, and you can find it under the business directory on their website. So what are some other events that you guys have throughout the year that people can attend just to learn more, to see some of the success stories that are coming through Launch?
Yeah, good question. We have two graduations a year, one in the fall, one in the spring. And, you know, coming to those is a lot of fun because you get to hear inspiring stories. You get to hear people talk about their businesses and see what their plans are for the future and really sort of what's going to lay the fabric for the business community in our city next. And then also we have a pitch competition with the high school students we work with. That's early December every year. And that one's usually at UTC. And that's a lot of fun too, because you get to see students that, you know, unfortunately, I think a lot of us, just when we think about high school students, we think about kids that are kind of self-absorbed, maybe they're, you know, in and out of trouble. But these kids are just so inspiring, man. I mean, you hear them talk about their business ideas and the things they come up with. When they think about a problem and solving a problem, I mean, they see things that are so insightful. And so that's our pitch competition with the high school students in early December. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's such an exciting thing of teaching entrepreneurship to high school kids, because what it teaches them is, like, when you see a problem, you're the solution to that problem.
Yeah.
The idea to fix that problem is in your head. It's among your community and your peers. That goes back to that Harvard Business article you talked about, just the entrepreneurship mindset of going through life that way. So, yeah, it's great. You know, the last thing is, I know you guys with Launch have actually been consulting with other cities who are seeing what you're doing and want to bring that kind of organization to their city. Because, like you said, you know, the economic divide, you know, the problem that a lot of people have seen in Chattanooga, that the success of the city isn't reaching everybody, that's not a Chattanooga story. That happens in every single city in the country. And so people from other cities are looking at what you're doing and wanting to bring that to their city. So kind of talk about the expansion of Launch. I don't know if expansion is the right word there, but talk about that for a second.
Well, first of all, just take a moment to say how awesome I think Chattanooga is. I mean, there is so much good happening here, and what we're about is sort of, you know, seeing that become even better, hopefully stronger for everyone. And so the fact that Chattanooga has become kind of the entrepreneurial city in the state and in the region, I mean, I think we're looked to as a place where startups are happening, and we're trying to create a culture, and we are, you know, a place where people can feel free to take steps and start things, and where there's funding and where there's encouragement for good ideas and that kind of thing. So the we got quite a bit of interest, you know, surprisingly, from groups in other cities that wanted to start something similar to Launch. And over time, we have kind of worked out a model for helping them do that. So we can provide training and support to groups in other cities that are trying to start something. So we've done that now in 7 cities and partnered with them. We don't have any day-to-day responsibility there. It's all kind of front-end loaded and startup. oriented, but over time, we all these cities are part of a network that's now a national network. We just had a meeting with them 2 weeks ago. They were all here for Startup Week, and it was just so much fun to be with
them.
It's
a good time to be in Chattanooga.
Yeah, so I'll run through them real quick. Grand Rapids, Michigan, Memphis, Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee, Cincinnati, Ohio, Greenville, South Carolina, and Baltimore, Maryland, and New Orleans, Louisiana. Those are the seven cities that we're currently partnered with. And we're having dialogue with, I'd say, probably 10 others pretty seriously. So it's been a very, very fun thing to be able to work with them and see this happen in other places, like having grandkids.
Yeah, that's a really interesting relationship because this is not a franchise model.
No, that's not.
Yeah, yeah. You guys are just teaching them and coaching them and then saying and then keeping them in relationship with you guys. So they can have their own organization focus on their own city's needs and yet be exposed to a broader network throughout the country that really is looking at, hey, what's been successful for you guys? Yeah, maybe we can create that here as well.
That's right. That's right. And for us, you know, it's been an expansion of our mission, which has been great beyond Chattanooga. Most of our work's focused in Chattanooga, but this really gives us the ability to work with groups in other cities. And then also, you know, we see a lot of value that we can add by taking the experience we've had. This is not a unplug Chattanooga and plug it in Kansas City and expect it to work. It's really contextualizing and trying to help the groups in other cities make it a fit with the principles that we've learned here that have worked. So it's fun every time. It's different every time. And so, you know, that's what we're working on.
So, you know, we actually recently did an episode with Enoch Elwell and Will Joseph about co-starters. And I do wonder if there's a natural question forming in people's minds as they're listening to this. What's the difference between co-starters and launch?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Well, co-starters is a partner of ours that we very much appreciate. They are the, you know, in a lot of ways, the backbone of, you know, one really important piece of our process. We utilize the Co-Starters Urban curriculum, and it's a great process for people to go through that are thinking of starting a business. But then beyond that, there's a lot more support that we provide. So we're sort of providing 3, 4, 5 years worth of support in addition to that first class. But Co-Starters is really trying to develop a community, and so, you know, we're all about that as well. And so there's a lot of overlap, but we're more focused in providing the service to support the business, and I think that generally they're more involved in the on the curriculum side and the community building side of organizations like ours that are providing that service.
Yeah, I think what's fascinating to me about both, you know, Co-Starters and you guys, and what I love is the way your vision is expanding beyond Chattanooga for the specific sake, not to you know, spread Chattanooga's brand or name or anything like that, but just the networks that are being created through these organizations of Co-Starters and Launch, and how powerful that can be down the road, not only for you guys and being able to look at other cities and other, you know, your partners and seeing what's worked for them, but even for the people going through your programs. You know, you're not only opening up to a network here in the city, you're opening them up to a network that goes beyond our city. And like you said, for businesses, I mean, networking is so important.
Yeah, it is. And Chattanooga is just a model city. I mean, we are that, and we have people looking at us all day, every day about one facet or another. And so I'm excited that we're part of one of those facets. I think, you know, expanding the entrepreneurial community so that it's a more diverse and inclusive place is super important for our future and hopefully one that we're helping equip folks for.
Well, I think you guys are definitely doing that, and I really appreciate it. And I know our city is becoming better because of the efforts of Launch. So, you know, Hal, thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks for having me. It was great to be here.
For coming on and sharing the vision and the story of Launch. You know, I really encourage you to go on their website and check out the business directory that we talked about. You know, one of the most important things that we can do as individuals is patron local businesses whenever possible. In doing so, the money that you spend is far more likely to stay right here in Chattanooga and not only sustain local businesses and local families, but strengthen our overall local economy. So please go online to launchchattanooga.org and check out that directory of businesses that have been started through Launch. And then support local businesses as often as possible. As always, thank you so much to our studio sponsor, the Lamppost Group, for letting us use their studio to record this episode. You can learn more about them at lamppostgroup.com. And thank you guys for being here. You know, if you haven't subscribed to this podcast, please do so. Please leave us a rating or review. And as always, you can share this episode or any of our episodes at thecamphouse.com/podcast. So thank you for being here. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you have a great day.